Hello and welcome to the U Up podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on?
Always a pleasure.
Always.
What's going on? Let's think. I'm going upstate with my friends this weekend. It's very exciting.
Really? This is happening a lot. This is the kind of, you know, a cause and effect of the pandemic and the quarantine and staying close to home. Upstate New York seems to be the place to go in this area, huh?
I mean, it's just like easy, I guess. We're going to rent a car, we're going to drive up, we're just going to like hang out at a house. I think it'll be fun. You know, it's weird. This will be the longest I've spent away from Mike since March.
Wow. How are,
it's like
are you
three nights?
Are you excited? Is there like a healthy amount of like, good, get the fuck away from me, dude? Right?
There is. It's like we're getting along very well. And I think it'll be nice to like be able to miss each other a little bit.
Cause listen, I'm with you. Yeah. I've been doing more shows lately, and you know, Jess and I both, as I'm walking out the door, we're like, okay, you gotta go, goodbye.
And then
you come back and you're like, oh, good, you know, hug me while I'm hungover, please. You know, so
exactly.
It is nice to miss each other a little bit, especially, you know, they're right next to you. I'm looking.
Yeah, same. Looking at him right now.
Just looking at how beautiful you are. That's right. See? Nail it every time. Now, Jordana, what is we have a big show tomorrow. We're doing a live virtual U Up podcast. We love doing these. I think our podcast is built for a live virtual show. We're going to be doing listener emails. We're going to bring listeners onto the show to discuss their texts that they're receiving from people. We're going to give dating app makeovers, deal reveals. We're taking audience questions. This is a fantastic excuse to get the group chat together virtually. Like you can, this is like a fun thing to like do the group chat while you guys all watch, right, Jordana?
I think it's a great thing to do with your friends. It's a great thing to do with your boyfriend. It's a great thing to watch with a guy that you're just started seeing. So much stuff to discuss.
Perfect virtual date night.
Exactly. There's nothing more fun than judging the person that you're just started seeing on what they think is a red flag or a deal breaker in real time.
Absolutely. And we're going to be playing all those games. We're going to be doing it all. So all you got to do is go to betches.co/uup live. Go to betches.co/uup live. Get your tickets. Get involved. Make yourself a drink and have fun. It's at 7:00 Eastern time. I'm going to be coming to you live from Portland, Oregon. I had a last second booking, so I'll be in Portland, Oregon this weekend as well. So if you're in Portland, double whammy of the J train, the Wizard of Oz. You can tune in at 4 p.m. Pacific time and then come on over to Helium Comedy Club, and I'll be doing a socially distanced show in Portland, Oregon this weekend. I'm doing 5 shows, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you can get those tickets, jaredfreed.com. But most importantly, to all of you, live U Up virtual show. I love doing these virtual shows. They are a lot of fun.
They're so much fun. And if you are if you're on the West Coast and you're like, well, 4 p.m. is a little early, I'm still working at that time. But if you buy a ticket, you can watch it after it runs live. So you can still watch it. It just won't be quite as live. But I've gotten a lot of emails and DMs about that. So if you can't watch it live, you have plans that night, you still want to see it, get a ticket. You can watch it after. It's still a lot of fun.
It's called live to tape. So we will be doing it live and then it will be taped for when you need it and when you want it later that night. But anything else going on at Betches, Jordana, that you want to go into?
We are coming out with a bunch of new U Up merchandise. So if you want to support the show, if you want to show people on the streets who you are and what you're a fan of,
yes,
head on over to Shop Betches, check out the U Up collection. We did a little brainstorm of some merchandise that we thought you guys would really like. And if there's anything you want us to make that you would buy, let us know.
Yeah, now you get to be the designer. Now, I would also say what I love about our merchandise, it doesn't say like, U Up Podcast, Jared Freed, Jordana Abraham. Like, you're not wearing, you know, the Jared and Jordana collection. You're wearing something that's cool and fun and hip and from the minds of the of the people at Betches that know you and are you, right?
Exactly. It's a nod to the show, and it's just it's about, you know, a certain sensibility which all of our you uppers really have.
Jordana, you always have the perfect word. A nod to the show is the perfect explanation of the merch. Otherwise, listen, people, I'm on the road again, Portland, Oregon. I love the Pacific Northwest, love the Pac Nor. I'm there this weekend. And then also Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City Mo. So let's get, you know, socially distanced. The shows have been fun. I think I'm going to tape a COVID comedy album, Jordana.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm pushing. Oh, also, can I make one more announcement?
Of course, go for it.
I haven't talked about this enough because The Bachelorette has started.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Are you watching?
They were really funny. Yeah, this season you. I'm watching because Claire is like, the jokes just write themselves with her.
I know. It has been, I mean, it's T-ball. I got to say, this season, The Bachelorette to me is a less entertaining show on normally than The Bachelor is. The Bachelor, there is a little bit of Cinderella. There's a little bit of fairy tale that you can kind of buy into. The Bachelorette, considering Claire and all the rumors and the switch-ups that are supposedly coming and that they're quarantined and that they're all at this La Quinta resort that looks like a place you'd go to on spring break freshman year when you had like $50 to spend on it. Like I love everything about this season. And I, if you haven't already, I wrote a preview and I wrote it for Betches. I put it up before every season. It's my favorite thing to write. I spend literally 5 days locked in a closet, writing it and annoying
that's,
the fuck out of Jess.
That's his process.
That's my process. Oh, my process is writing it and then going, is it funny? And then Jess goes, shut up. And that's basically the process. And
it's
then
like Picasso.
Yeah. I'm going to rip my ear off. Is that Picasso? So I wrote the preview. It's on Betches. Go on their website. Please read it. I love writing it. And follow me on Instagram. I yell at the show every Tuesday night. Please, it is actually important to me that you guys share that if you enjoy it. If you laughed, share it. That's all I ask. And every story I have has that little airplane that you can share it or you can tag them in the post. But I do consider this like a taste of what I'm like as a live show when I do that live scream on Instagram. Does that make
sense? Definitely. 100%. So he's an artist. Support the arts.
Support the arts.
Press the share button.
That's my bag. Let's get into the show. Let's do it. Because I do love doing the Bachelor live screen. And I'm like, come on, let's get people into this.
No, it's great. It's really funny. I watched last night. I enjoyed it.
And then I can't sleep at night. I have so much adrenaline afterwards that I've now added more. I'm doing a post-game show on my YouTube channel. So I spend the whole night just looking at likes, and Jess is like, you're addicted. And then that's basically the end of our night.
Sounds like a fun time at the Fried household.
Listen, this is just everyone right now is like, oof, thank God. Good for Jess, right? No. Okay. She has to clean around me. That's basically, I'm just a human disaster.
I'm sure that's because of The Bachelorette, not because of regular life. Yeah.
Well, a little bit of both. What are we talking about today, Jordana?
So today I shared one email. We're going to talk about one email specifically, but I've actually seen a few of these emails about people writing in. I think it might have to do with COVID, but I think it's also a general thing of people kind of wondering if like their dating life could be improved by moving.
Mm. I love this. I actually, because it is related to COVID. Absolutely. It's related to quarantine. Like, you know, again, we've had the conversation of like, hey, we're going to do this podcast and we're going to have fun and talk about dating. We're not going to just sit here crying about the state of the world. But the state of the world does affect, it is a cause and effect thing. Something happens, now people reevaluate and they go, am I in the right city? I have friends moving to the suburbs every 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah. I think people are moving because, you know, their jobs are changing or they've lost a job or they've gotten a new job somewhere. But also I think like some people, I think even before the pandemic were like, Is it really, is it like, it seems really hard to date in X city. Like maybe I'd have better luck elsewhere. And I think that when I was single, I sort of thought about that too. I did think of like, New York does seem like kind of a, it's funny because I we get emails from both sides of the, of both sides of it. So sometimes people write in and be like, I can't date in New York anymore. Everyone has too many options and like no one will settle down because there's always something else out there. And then we get another email that's like, I'm from the middle of nowhere and like there are three people on the apps and it's the same three people and they're all like terrible.
Yeah, no, I it's very funny. And also you and I, I've you know, you and I traveled the country doing a live dating show. So we have a, we don't know more than the next person, but we have an experience that we can kind of lean on to help with this question because I, Jordana, did we not in every city, and
everyone,
we know,
thinks.
Everyone thinks their city is the worst for dating. There That's isn't true. One city we went to that was like, we're having the best time here. Everyone, every city has its problems that are, yes, specific to the city, but they all have problems. No one is living in a perfect world where their city is a great place to date if they're not having a great. So, you know, to start this off, Mr. or Mrs. Listener, the problem is your own. You're bringing your problems to the next city no matter where you go. Don't you think?
Yeah. No, I think it is a little bit like, you know, it's you. It's not like there's no such thing as like a geographic cure.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like even like sometimes people say like, oh, you know, my kid doesn't have that many friends in this town. I'm going to move. Mm. Like maybe like usually the geographic cures don't work. I do think sometimes like the odds are like in a certain gender's favor in certain cities.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll give you one example. But before even that example, there is also your problems might fit better in a certain city, that might be the case. Like I remember growing up, I don't know how we've kind of delved into this with like, you know, just like people, the way people date and what they're attracted to. But like I grew up in a town called Needham, and Needham is outside of Boston. And when I grew up there, now it is kind of known, I think, as a Jewish area. But when I grew up there, and I'm 35, if you're around my age, that was, there were two Jewish neighborhoods. There was, and mine was called Hanukkah Heights by everyone. And then the other one was called like Dreidel Drive. And yes, that does kind of seem a little bit anti-Semitic, but
it was endearing.
Sure. I guess it was endearing, but my little circle of houses happened to all be Jewish people. There was like one house that did Christmas lights, and it was like kind of like a fun joke.
Right.
So
yeah,
what?
My neighborhood too.
So my area, I never really felt like I was like in this like comfortable, everyone's just a lot alike. Like it was like very much more Irish Catholic, and there was this kind of like thing. And I remember going to high school and you're like, okay, I remember like, then you, Newton is next door. Newton's the town that like most Jews know.
Right.
I remember going to Newton and being like, am I hot now? Like I like, you know, because I was like, wow, I'm around all these Jews now.
100%. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well,
so like,
I can give you another example, which is also pretty relevant. So I went to Cornell, which is known for not having like the hottest girls, right?
Okay.
So the bar is like lower. So like, I think I did better there than like I would have with like a random sampling of the population, because like. It's just kind of people say that the girls are just like not attractive there.
Okay.
Right?
I haven't heard that. I've always thought the girls from Cornell were very, very beautiful and nice. But I that sounds like I'm taking a political position. But I understand where that becomes the reputation. I do understand.
Right. That was the reputation of that.
Sure.
But then it's funny. I like went with Mike. Right. And we were in Florida. He went to Miami. So he took me on a little tour of the Miami campus. And I'm like, these girls are so fucking hot. Like, I can't imagine having gone to school here. Like, no one would have spoken to me.
Well, it's like, there's like a little bit of like a Malcolm Gladwell kind of like thing of that. Like, you know, you're like, there's a book by Malcolm Gladwell where he's like, hockey players are born in this time of year, and right. because they excel, because, you know, I'm going off like a tweet of the book, but I'm saying like, this is, it's like, you are kind of influenced by your surroundings. So I do understand where someone's like, hey, I'm in New York City and this city and the type of person here doesn't fit my dating style. I feel small fish in a huge pond. Whereas when I visited this city, I felt like, wow, the men were approaching me. I don't think that's about a better city. That's more about maybe your thing clicks with that personality that lives there, you know, and that can be true. Because as you and I both know, there isn't a city. We never went to a city that was, everyone was like, it's the best here. San Francisco, another San Francisco is, or was it San Francisco? No, Seattle or San Francisco, one of the two had big tech. So there was more men than women. So remember, right. they had this saying, yeah. They're like, but what was it? The pickings
the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Yeah.
Right? Or something.
So it's like you're dating a bunch of tech bros, but they're all odd, kind of, you know, a little bit
right.
eccentric.
There's a lot of guys,
dudes.
But none of that. Right. They're not like necessarily people you'd want to date.
Sure. And then you go to New York and there's like, oh, all these finance bros always looking for the next best thing. And you're like, you go to like Texas and they're like, oh, you know, like Austin was totally different than Dallas. Like, so
right.
like,
or what's that shirt? It's like too ugly for LA, too dumb for New York.
Yeah. That's So I just, before we get into this email, I think it's like important to let people know that, you know, I mean, I traveled the country with you. I saw every corner of the country with you. I also do my own shows where I travel. And then Michelle Wolf, when I opened for her, when we were really going around, she would always say that comedians and politicians are the only ones that see the whole country. So we have seen it. We do know that there's no good answer for this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's JUVEDERM.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you are allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Do you want to read the email?
Yeah, I'll read the email. Okay. Love the show. Makes for some great content while walking my dog and blocking out 2020. I don't have a question about a specific relationship, but more of a general dating question. I've been living in Philly for about 3 years. I've made some really great friends and have a life that I'm proud of here. However, all of my friends, except for like two, have gotten into serious relationships, moved in together, engaged, etc. I've pretty consistently been on dating apps since moving here and gone on a number of good number of dates, but have never had anything go past a third date. Either way, either they aren't into it, or I'm not into it, or we're just kind of ghost each other. Lately, I've been feeling like maybe I'm just not going to find someone here. Is it crazy to think about moving somewhere new just to have a different dating pool? Side note, my mom doesn't think it's crazy, but all my friends do. So I'm hoping you'll be the tiebreaker. Sincerely, not an Eagles fan.
Oh, man, I love that the mom's like, you should move. I think it will help. Why wouldn't you just take a chance? You know, you got a good career. Just go to the, you know, listen, New York is a great town and you'd be an hour away from me and that's okay. It's, you know, right? Like, right. Is that a mom? You can hear it.
It's a very mom thing to say. I mean, I kind of get it. It's funny. You do part of me again, like the geographic cure thing doesn't seem to be like a real thing. But then I see people who like leave New York and they move to a different city and they're people who've been single here for like years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And then they immediately get into a relationship when they move to a new city. But I do think that can be due to a couple of things and they blame it on the city.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you're re-energized. You're more positive. I mean, she even says she signs her email, sincerely not an Eagles fan. And I know that's looking very deeply into the email, but like that is an element of I've had it with these fucking people. I've had it. I don't want to talk about the Eagles anymore. I've had the same conversation about Carson Wentz 7,000 times. It's like enough's enough. Maybe a new city will get me away from these cheese steak eating idiots. You know, so it's like I say that lovingly because I do love Philly. And I do think that's a big city where you can find any type of person. So to say that the city's the problem, I'm with you. I totally agree. I also think there's survival in community. Like, I do think that, like, they say they haven't been past a third date, but like, your friends are saying, how could you move? But are your friends introducing you to people? You know what I mean? Right. Like, I do think, like I think about this a lot. Like, I grew up, again, I'm going back to growing up outside of Boston. But my dad's family, his three siblings, his whole great network was in those surrounding towns. Like, there wasn't one New York, and I do think like a lot of that is makes you like rises you up. You have you win with like numbers, so to speak. Like going to this new town, like you're gonna have to start over. You're gonna have to find new friends. Like there is like and when you say like people go to these new towns and find a boyfriend right away or a girlfriend, to me that's a lot of times just survival of like not being alone. And it's like, are you just taking anybody that will take you because you got no one else? Like, is that part of it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that might be like a large part of it. Like, I think I've seen a lot of times people move to a new city, they feel very lonely, and then they're kind of like, they work harder at making something work than they would have otherwise. Like,
sure.
If I have no plans for the weekend and this person that I'm kind of on the fence about asked me out again, and I don't know anyone else in my city, like, I'm probably going to go. And yeah. There's going to be less keeping me from going than if I could instead skip that and go out with my friends.
Oh, totally. And that kind of goes back to the show Love is Blind. Like, did those people get to know each other in such an intimate way to get engaged because they were put in the situation? Like, because they were like told, hey, you stay in a room together and there's no phone, so you better fucking talk. Like, again, this is like, you know, when people are like, oh, we're so distracted by our phones, we're so distracted by options. It's like, yes, we are, but sometimes those options are better. You know, like sometimes, you know,
sometimes they are.
Sometimes I do want to hang out with my friends and not go on a date or go out with, you know, with someone that I'm like trying to get to know, because getting to know someone is a little bit of work.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think like correlation doesn't prove causation. So maybe you are more likely to meet someone if you move somewhere else, but it's not necessarily for the reasons that you think, which is that like this city's dating pool is so much better than yours.
Yeah. But I would say again, I don't mean to like backtrack and give like a double answer, because I do want to reiterate, not one city loved their dating scene. Right. and all of them would claim to have the worst dating, even though they've only dated in one city. So you and I know the grass is not going to be greener. It's just going to be different type of grass.
Right. Unless you're like, you feel like you're in a rut here. And that's usually, I would imagine, not just due to dating. But let's say you're kind of like, I feel like my life is a little bit stuck. I keep doing the same things. Nothing is changing. I think there are ways that are a little bit lower lift to sort of get yourself out of that. I can understand where you're like, I've seen the same five guys on four different dating apps in this thing that I've already like not gone out with, or I went out with one with like them a couple times and it didn't work. I just keep like, do you know what I mean? Where you're
and
like,
Philly,
nothing
I
is
mean,
moving.
To speak to the emailer, Philly is a place where that can happen. Philly is a big city, but that person, it does feel like everyone knows each other from high school.
Right. I wouldn't make dating a change in dating pool the only reason to move, but I do feel like if you're looking for like to shake your life up a little bit, it could be a solution. I would start smaller scale than that. I would start like trying to do things that you aren't currently doing, maybe going to a different area of town, or asking your friends, to those engaged friends, to like set you up, or like doing some sort of reset that isn't moving. And then if you do feel like that's something that you could find multiple good things with, not necessarily just dating, I wouldn't,
if I were,
I think it's like the worst thing in the world to move, to kind of reset your jumpstart your life a little bit.
I can even give you an answer that's in between. Like we have to be thankful that we are alive in 2020. You and I can do this podcast over Zoom. We can send it in over the computer. We are utilizing the things at our disposal. I know a lot of people shy away from utilizing 2020 and the things at their disposal because it's tough to take chances. It's tough to make changes. But I had someone come on. I did a YouTube live. You know, I brought listeners on and answered questions. And there was one listener that was like, she lived in New York and she moved back to Maine because of what's going on in the world. And she's like, my New York City rent is coming up, but there's no one here to meet in Maine. And I was like, why wouldn't you take a month? Her lease in New York was running up or something, but she was working remotely from Maine and she was there for the foreseeable future. And she was like, I can't find guys in Maine. And I was like, do you have a friend? Do you have one friend that's also working remotely, that's also living at home? Why don't you, that's making, you know, again, this is a privileged solution. Not everyone can do it, but a lot of people are in situations they never thought they'd be in. A lot of people are making adult money, hopefully, while living with their parents like a child. So winter is coming. Winter, we saw that this world is not so much fun in the winter. Get an Airbnb for a month in a city. Test it out. Do a home vacation. Get two friends. Get your single friends and be like, hey, let's do something different. Let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Let's go to, you know, these smaller towns that have like a scene. They have like a, and let's look up the place to live and let's get an Airbnb for a month that's safe. That's obviously like you've searched it out and you make sure it's the right neighborhood. And let's splurge a little to make our lives a little bit
more
better,
exciting.
More exciting, and test it out. Maybe you go like Charleston, South Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Denver, Colorado, Phoenix, Arizona, Portland, Oregon. I'm going there this weekend. These are all places that you never would have had the chance to really test out, except for the fact that this new world exists. I have a good friend whose son is a freshman in college. And he keeps telling his son, you're doing remote. Go do it somewhere cool. Like, you don't have to live at your college right now. And I know that sucks, but, like, let's make the best of a shitty situation. So this person in Philly, like, hey, Nashville's pretty awesome. I know.
I love that idea.
You know what I mean? So it's like, she's like, I got two other single friends. Well, one of them might not be game for this, but a couple might, or a friend of a friend might. Because
if I was single, I'd be down for this. This sounds like a once in a lifetime opportunity.
It genuinely is. And like, I look at my life in New York and I might be beyond this, but I'm not even that beyond this. Like, there's a piece of me that's like, you know, Jared, pack up the podcast equipment and let's head west. You know, like, there's a piece of me.
Yeah. We've thought about that too. I mean, really? I assume you'd bring Jess.
Who?
Yeah. I mean, we went to South Carolina for a month and yeah. We were thinking like, I mean, the annoying thing for us is like we have a lease that has many months left on it.
Sure.
And so we don't really want to be paying like two rents. But if our lease had come up in like the next few months, I think we would have been like totally like let's be a traveling, you know,
circus. Band. Yeah. Like but I think this is only like, again, not everyone's privileged to be in these situations, but if you're privileged enough to say, I don't know if this town works for dating, then I would assume you also have the ability to take a month and have, you know, maybe family that will take a bunch of your stuff and put it in the garage while you do a little eat, pray, love in Denver, Colorado. Like, I don't know. And listen, I'm, as you said in the beginning of the show, I'm just an artist with a little bit of creativity. So I'm just giving a creative idea. Because I again, this gives you, let's use 2020 to the best of its ability. Airbnb exists. The internet exists. Your friends are single later in life. You're single later in life than your parents. Let's fucking get out there. You can even
live it up.
Live it up. You can even set your dating app profile to the city you're going to and set up a bunch of dates for a month from now. So like, listen, I'm just an idea guy. So yeah.
I love that idea. Yeah. Head south, go where it's warmer and people are still looking to hook up.
Right. And listen, the response could be, well, in COVID, you shouldn't. And it's like, okay. We all have different tolerances and risk tolerances.
Right. Or don't go.
Or don't do it. But or be fucking miserable in your city. I don't know.
I think that's great advice. And I think that like take any opportunity you can that's like lower lift to refresh your life. So this is like super low lift. You go to Miami, you stay there for a month, you hate it, come back.
Yeah, it's a month.
Yeah.
Wasn't for you. Come back to Philly and the dude that wants to talk about Carson Wentz.
Eagles.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who that is. You keep
he's
saying.
The quarterback for the Eagles. I'm sorry. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real. I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at BowlandBranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BOLLANDBRANCH.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Let's do some awkward sex. You ready?
All right.
Send yours in, UUP@betches.com. Listen, I'm going to do a little call to action, CTA. We need some awkward sex, people. If you got a story, the stories are, we're getting a lot, but, you know, what do they say? The odds are, what's that saying?
The odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Yeah. The odds are good for us to get an awkward sex story, but the goods are boring. So we need you to send in some fun, awkward sex stories, UUP@betches.com. I hooked up with this guy recently whom I had previously had some of the best and hottest sex with once before. Hopefully for a second wind of luck 7 months later, I went to his house despite his intention of getting drunk that night. We start hooking up, but he was quote unquote pushing rope.
What does that mean?
So pushing rope, and I'm not sure if this person's from the UK or not, but it is a term, and comedian Des Bishop has a very funny joke about pushing rope, quote unquote. The only reason I know the term is from Des Bishop. So Des is hilarious and funny, and everyone should go follow him. And he's got a great joke about a guy saying pushing rope. And apparently it's when your penis is soft and you try to still have sex with it.
Okay, so that's what happened.
So she had a bunch to drink. She said we started hooking up, but he was pushing rope. We powered on.
Unable to get hard.
He couldn't get hard, or he had half chub. He's got, you know, drunk dick. He's got, you know, whiskey dick.
Okay.
You know, have you ever done that where you just try anyways?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you tie a stick to it and you try and, you know, hold it up.
I feel like sometimes it needs some, you got to, like, you know,
you got to work it out.
Sometimes it comes up, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, that's the thing. Her email starts with they had sex once and it was the best, hottest sex. And it's like,
okay.
Yeah, you can't count on that. Listen,
it was a fluke.
Yeah. Guys sexually are like baseball pitchers. Like, we're like, we're going to have good days and bad days. Like, it's not every day is on it. We're not all Pedro Martinez. That's another sports reference. He used to play for the Red Sox. He was unbelievable. We're probably one of the best pitchers of all time. So, okay.
Never heard of him.
We powered on. I was on top at first, and then he pushed me back so he was still inside of me, but he was sitting up. He gestured with his hand and said, "Hang on 1 second." He then grabs his phone to answer a text. I went, "Are you serious right now? You're answering a text while you're still inside of me? Do you realize how rude this is?"
How rude.
She turns into
Michelle Tanner.
Michelle Tanner. I jumped up, threw my clothes on, let him know how disrespectful that was before leaving. He begged me to stay, called me 4 times, texted me 12 times with a bunch of sorries, and one, "I respect you and your smile." Gag, she writes.
How do you respect someone's smile?
Not just your smile, you and your smile. That sounds like a G.I. Joe commercial.
You're really reaching there.
Yeah.
I'm imagining this guy trying to like write out this text, like something respect you
I respect.
And your smile. I'll make it flirty.
You, yeah, exactly. Like, you, that might not be enough. How will she know I still want to fuck her?
There you go.
He went from one of the best sexual experiences I've ever had to one of the worst. For reference, I'm 26. He was 33. He texted me the next day, said he knew he was rude and disrespectful, and he feels horrible. Eye roll, she writes. What world does this guy live in? What do you think?
It's so funny because, like, you know that show everyone keeps watching, like, The Social Dilemma?
Mm-hmm.
About, like, everyone's addiction to their phones.
Totally.
I feel like they should just reenact this. Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. I'm familiar with what's going on.
I mean, it's like the same shit that you've already heard before. Like, yeah. Our phones are a little addictive.
I don't know
if anyone got the memo.
Just a wee bit. I only wake up in the middle of the night to look at it. But yeah, you're right.
It's funny because sometimes I'll check my phone in a moment that I know is ridiculous, like in the middle of a workout. Like, I'll do, like, I'm doing, like, an online class. And then I look at it. Like, I see a text pop up. And I'm like, I could just wait the 10 minutes for this class to be over, but I just can't help myself.
It's definitely a problem. Like we all know it's a problem. I'm with you. Sometimes I'll open Instagram, close it, and then open it a half a second later. And I'm like, I was just here. You know, like, there's nothing new to see. And listen, look at how people used to smoke cigarettes when they were addicted. They'd have them after a meal, after sex, when they woke up. Like, if someone had a cigarette when they woke up, after a meal and after sex and before they went to bed, you go, that person's addicted. You use the phone at the same exact times when you wake up, after sex, when you're, you know, done with a meal.
Right.
So
have you ever, that's true. After sex, there's the post-sex scroll.
Yeah. The post-sex scroll. Yeah. We're all doing it. How long do you wait? Like, and you do have a moment where you go, okay, that's like, I've had sex and then, like, I've had sex with Jess and then been like, she goes to the bathroom and I'm like, I guess I'll look at Instagram. You know, like, it does feel
right,
a little
like,
too
quick.
What
else am I supposed to do? Sit here with my own thoughts?
Yeah. The horrors of my own emotions.
Right.
So I mean, this guy's version, this emailer's version is extreme and is disrespectful. Like, it's not right. But I do understand that she says he's drunk and he's pushing rope. So I can see how it happens. I'm not apologizing for him, but I'm saying, like, the idea that, like, oh, wait, like, and then he gives you the finger, like that's, you know, that annoying douchey, like, I'm texting finger.
Right. One second.
And just like, and then.
That's what I'm saying. Where do we draw the line? Like, I agree, like, it happens.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know about this happens, but, like, sometimes you, like, are checking, you know what I mean? Like, you can become compulsive.
Yeah.
But where line between, like, this is absurd. This is really rude.
Well, I mean, we are dangerously close, and I know this takes us down a different road, and I'm saying when they have that, like, the Oculus, the...
VR.
So, like, virtual reality porn, you're like, we're on the doorstep, if you think about it. Like, the idea that your phone is right next to you when you have sex, like, it's 7 inches from you looking at it while you're in the sexual act,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't know what usually the lines get blurred the longer society goes. So, like, you would hope that the line is, like, you know, 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, that seems like a respectful society that I want to live in.
Right. I do too. But, like, you know, I understand he made a mistake, and I understand why he's texting her going, he's from her email. It sounds like he's pretty apologetic, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he respects her and her smile.
So she might as well just forgive him and get married to him.
Right. I think she did a good job of, like, very adequately stating that, like, she is not okay with that, which is good because she's not. But I would probably give him another chance.
You would?
Yeah.
Considering the amount he apologized, he does realize there's a problem.
That he fucked up, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, to text the next day, the smile thing, maybe he's drunk. I'm giving alcohol a lot of credit in this because he begged me to stay, called me 4 times, 12 times, a bunch of sorries, and one, I respect you and your smile. Like, that sounds like a very drunk text that if he heard read back to him, he'd be like, I'm that guy now. And then the next day said he knew he was rude and disrespectful. That's, and feels horrible. That's a more human text to send. I would, as a guy, if I'm in bed with a woman who did that, I would still be having sex with her. As sad as that sounds. Like, if my, you know, if Jess did that to me while we're having sex, I would go, what's going on? Like, I would have more questions. It wouldn't be like, how could you? You know, like,
do you think she would be offended if you did it?
Absolutely. She, yeah. I think this is one of those male-female things where I don't know if there's a lot of men that would be like, please, you know, no phones. Like, there was one Bachelor contestant that I previewed for Betches. You can see it on their site right now. That he was like, all the women I date are always, I'm looking for a woman who won't be scrolling her phone during a date. And it's like, my perspective on that is that that's just a bad date. Like, to say that all there's this group of women.
Well, that's the worst part about this. It's like, oh, this is just like a bad, like, you just weren't even into this sexual experience at all.
Yeah, this is a bad situation. This is a bad look. This is something that, like, no one would ever defend. So,
right. So I'm saying, like, that's the most hurtful part of it. It's like, it seems like you didn't even really want to be here.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'm trying to figure out the reason I wouldn't leave. Like I would be like, I guess it's my ego is too big to be like, oh, I guess it was so boring that you had, like, I guess that is, if I'm on top and then she just pulls her phone out and just is like, checking, you know, Instagram stories, I guess I would be offended.
I think you'd be like, okay, clearly, like, this is not really where you want to be.
Yeah, I would be like, I got to get off. I would get off, and then I'd be like, what's going on? And if she was like, I don't know, that dick ain't hard enough, I'd be like, okay, I should probably go. But I don't think, I just don't believe that someone would be that mean to me. I mean.
Right. Well, it's funny. I remember, like, in college, the professors would, like, yell at the class and be like, people are, like, texting in class. Mm. And I remember thinking at the time, like, if your lecture were more interesting, like, I wouldn't be texting.
So I have this, I agree with you. This happens for comedians a lot. So comics will be on stage and they'll yell at someone for being on their phone. And it's like, dude, you know, maybe, you know, like, there is the argument of, like, you weren't really entertaining them. Like, I'm not a right. big yell at people on their phone unless it's distracting other people person.
Like, unless it's making sounds or something. Yeah.
Making sounds. The light is, like, lighting up the room. Like, that's right. very distracting. But, like, if I see someone at a show quietly on their phone, all I think is, like, Jared, you fucking suck. Get funnier. Like, I do have that.
You're paying to be there, too. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
About, like, also for college, too. It's like, I'm paying you to sit here. So, like, if I'm on my phone, like, imagine how bad it must be.
Sure. I mean, listen, but I remember there was an open mic I used to go to, and the open mic, they had rules that you couldn't be on your phone, and they would kick you out if you were on your phone. And I remember I was at this open mic, and I was on my phone in the back. Someone said something to me, and then I was like, that's bullshit. Like, we're all here to learn. Do you think that at a show someone's going to, like, not go on their phone? Like, you have to deal with that. That's the reality of life. And then I remember I go on stage at this open mic of, like, all comedians, and I was just like, basically spent all my time talking about how stupid the rule was and never to be seen there again. So
that was the end of that.
Yeah. So that was the end of that. But what would you call this?
The textual feeling.
Textual feeling.
What do you got?
I got the sensual dilemma.
Oh, I like that.
After the social dilemma.
Social dilemma.
I would call it tit for text.
Yeah.
I would also call it what's it called? The I respect you and your smile.
There we go. That's the winner.
UUP at Betches.com. Send in your awkward sex. UUP at Betches.com.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15.
Hello, people. We're sponsored at Orbit. They know that bad breath to bad behavior like ghosting, dating can get dirty. Whether it's masked up and in person or dating from home in this new normal, people are finding new and creative ways to stay connected when it comes to dating. And either way, Orbit wants you to keep it clean because a clean mouth and fresh smile is all you really need to shine in the dirty world of modern dating.
Nothing breaks your confidence more than trying to navigate the world of modern dating. When faced with the dirtiness in dating, it's hard to know how to confidently respond. Someone needs to clean it up. In this period of a worldwide pandemic, the way people are interacting with one another has changed, and it's put more pressure on both online and offline dating dynamics. Keep It Clean allows Orbit to live wherever dating does, whether that's online, offline, or in between.
Okay, Jordana, red flag deal breaker. Bad breath on a first date. How are you handling it? What do you think?
I think it's actually like a deal breaker. First date.
Deal, you're done.
I'm done. If it's the first date, and that's like one of the main things I feel like that you should check before you go out. Is my breath smelling minty and fresh?
See, my feelings have changed. I think everyone should get one shot. Like, considering, you know, it wasn't until we had to start wearing these masks that I, you know, you put on the mask.
You can smell your own breath. Yeah,
you're like, I'm not, you know, 100%. I'm not walking around with clean breath all the time. I'm not killing it every day. There's moments where I leave the house and I've been talking with you on a podcast for an hour and a half and I get that stale smell and you're like, oh my God, this is what I've been doing. So like I'd give
podcast breath. Is that what they call it?
That's what I got. Podcast breath all the time. And, you know, I give someone the opportunity, and I do the thing where I'll carry Orbit with me, and
offer them a stick of gum.
Hey, do you want some too? And then it's like, oh, now we both, and you kind of like let them off the hook.
That's a good way to tell someone that they have bad breath without, you know,
absolutely
having to say it.
There is nothing more embarrassing. It is as if when someone says, ugh. Like, my dad a lot of times will go, your breath stinks. And I'll be like, that is as if he threw me outside the house naked. And
you know
I'm
why?
Sitting there. It feels
It's because it feels like you've been like how many people have thought this
Who
and
knows?
Not said anything?
Well, right? Exactly. And then you get mad at the person for telling you, but they're actually your best friend in the world.
Right. They should have been people should have been telling you the whole time. Normalize telling people that their breath smells.
Well, we have to find different ways to say it. Hey, here's some Orbit. And when someone offers me some gum, I go, is it bad? Is it that bad? And then they always go, no. I was just having some myself. I wanted to offer you. And that's the way you do it. Lie to
right.
me.
Right. Right. And if anyone ever says that to you, I was just having some for myself, know that they're lying to you too, but they're
exactly.
being nice about it. And just take the Orbit. They're sending you a message.
They're sending you a message. They're also, they're doing it as nicely as humanly possible. When you say this, like, your breath stinks, that might as well be someone, you know, giving me the middle finger to my face. Like, I need, hey, I got some gum. Do you want some too? And then I go, does it smell? Am I having an issue? No, you're fine. I'm just, there it is. Done.
Right.
You're in the
game. Protect yourself. Just always have a packet of Orbit on you.
Well, that's the thing. When I'm on a date, if I offer them gum and they go, no, I'm good. And then their breath smell, I'll be like, okay, that's the deal breaker.
Right.
That's
a good
the
point.
Moment where I go, right. Okay, they don't want to like reflect. They don't want to fix themselves. They're not, you know, workable. They're not a rough draft. I'm a rough draft. I'm willing to be better.
I'll always have gum on the way to a date just to, like, you know, it gives me something to do.
You guys are all in luck because Orbit is helping you keep it clean with their Keep It Clean campaign. To find out more information on how you can keep it clean with Orbit Gum, visit orbitgum.com or check out Orbit Gum at Orbit Gum on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Again, that's orbitgum.com, orbitgum.com to keep it clean starting today. Let's do another email. You ready?
Let's do it. All right. Hi, J&J. Huge fan of the pod. Actually saw Jared a few weeks ago in Nashville with my boyfriend, and we had such a great time.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Go see him.
Thank you.
Little backstory.
Straight from the Nashville horse's mouth.
Long story short, my boyfriend is 2 years older than me. We dated in high school, broke up before he left for college, and both moved back to our hometown after college. After realizing we were both back, we hung out a few times, got drinks, and we've now been in an exclusive relationship for over a year and been living together for about 4 to 5 months. We've both been working from home and our off days don't always line up. And that happened to be the case today. I was sitting in the living room working while he was sleeping and I heard his phone go off on the table next to me. Apparently he had left it in the living room from the night before. Dangerous. Now I know what you're thinking. This psycho girl is about to go through this man's phone. But I swear this is not a normal thing that I do. I have never gone through his phone, but I was just curious. He's never given me a reason not to trust him, so I shouldn't have anything to worry about, right? I mean, this man has talked to me about engagement, marriage, wanting me to birth his children, and we've already made plans for when the lease is up at our current place. So I shouldn't worry, right? Wrong.
She really set us up there.
Seriously. As I'm going through his texts, I notice a few numbers that aren't saved. So I click on the messages, and they are from about 2 weeks ago and are sent from him around midnight, if not later. Also, I feel like I should mention they weren't iMessages. They were green texts. Disgusting.
The horror! Poor people!
Gross.
I'm kidding, everybody. I'm kidding.
It's totally fine to have an Android.
Yeah, you can have an Android.
Sort of. These messages say, like, hey, how are you? Hey, how are you tonight? And one even said, hey, you up? The odd thing about the messages, zero responses.
None
of them replied to his initial texts. Weird, right?
Not only is she dating a cheater, but he's a loser.
Loser. That's the worst part.
Yeah, nothing worse than dating a green text loser. These people won't even answer him.
Well, it's funny. There's nothing worse than someone who tries but fails to cheat on you.
Hey. I feel a little weird answering this. She's like, my boyfriend and I were at the show a few weeks ago. We had a great time. Now to the email about him cheating on me.
So my question, should I confront him about this? I know it seems psychotic to go through his phone while he's sleeping, but for me, as someone who wants to spend the rest of my life with this man, and he has told me the same, I wouldn't care if he went through my phone. I have zero to hide. But this bothers me on a whole new level.
Oh, boy.
I mean, texting random unsaved numbers after midnight, kind of sketch. Would love your advice. Sincerely, bad luck, Becky. This is Big Booty Becky's cousin.
Yeah. Big Booty Becky's cousin, bad luck. This is, we got a problem on our hands in Nashville. Ooh.
This is quite the dilemma.
Well, what do you think?
All right, I'd like to address her last paragraph because I think it's the most annoying part.
I'm with you. I actually...
Because yeah. I have nothing to hide, that makes it okay for me to go through his phone because, like, he should have nothing to hide either. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, a massive invasion of privacy, and it's not something that you can really, like, justify by saying, like, because it's not like something popped up and you happen to see it. Like, you actively, like, a phone is kind of like someone's diary.
Yeah.
Almost. It's like reading someone's diary to me.
Without context. Like,
right, without any sort of, it's not like, oh, like there were all, he kept going into the room and making these mysterious phone calls or he was acting really weird. Like, this just seems like just admit that, I think she should just admit that she fucked up and that, like, that is, it's not
well,
okay.
To backtrack a little, she says, I heard his phone go off on the table next to me. So it just went off and, nothing.
And she was reminded of its presence, and then she went into it.
And she said, "Now the psycho girl is about to go through this man's phone. I swear this is not a normal thing I do. But I was curious. So, okay. By
curiosity killed the cat.
Curiosity killed this relationship. So I'm going to go with her words. We can only live in the reality that's been built for us, is that what rung on the phone wasn't something that made her curious. It was just that the phone exists without
him there.
Reminded
her that it was here unattended.
Fine. Okay, that being said, you're right. This is an invasion of privacy. I think it differs. She does a lot of this thing that women do where it's like, I don't want to be crazy while they're acting crazy, doing the thing they claim to be crazy.
Right. Which, okay, just own that you are being crazy. She goes, I know it seems psychotic. Like, it is psychotic.
Whoa.
I know it seems crazy.
Hold on. Jordana, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have to go back to this. She doesn't have to own that. To me, I would never own that I'm psychotic. I would own that I don't trust my boyfriend. Like, there's to me, saying you're psychotic or saying you're crazy, then this all lives in crazy town.
You're right.
I think, like, there's a lesson to be learned here for anyone listening. Like, I would never call, I think this is, to me, this is a female thing. You don't hear a lot of guys being like, I'm being crazy. I don't want to be crazy. I don't want to be clingy. I don't hear that from a lot of guys. They, you know, the idea of being too much.
I think guys almost use the opposite approach. I think there are men who are like very controlling of women that they date and like might go through their phone and do that sort of thing. I don't think this is a solely female thing, but I think it almost is almost like the excuse men give is not like, oh, I'm just being crazy. The excuse is like, I love this person so much.
Totally. No.
Love bombing thing.
I totally agree with you. I'm not saying guys are not within their ability to do this, but I'm saying we don't do the thing where like we blame ourselves for being crazy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. I'm saying
they don't gaslight themselves.
We don't get exactly. This is because guys are controlling in different ways. Guys go through women's phones. That is all true. And we're not different in that. I think it's what we dress it in that's different. And it's like this idea of like, I think women I've said this on this podcast before, women have let guys off the hook by calling themselves crazy all the time. And it's like, you know, I think this woman is letting him off the hook by saying she's crazy instead of saying, I don't trust my boyfriend fully, because she's saying,
well, that's
I have
how
nothing.
She's letting herself off the hook by saying like, I'm just crazy.
Yeah. Like, but she's also letting this relationship keep going. She's seen what she's seen, and now she's letting it keep going because she doesn't want to be outed as a crazy person, maybe.
Well, let's talk about what she's seen.
Okay.
So what do you make of these loserish texts that are...
Yeah.
What do you make of these texts as a man? Explain to me what happened, what you think happened here.
I don't know. Here's what I do know. They're unsaved numbers being sent after midnight. How are you? And it's quite literally a you up text being sent after midnight. I would need to know, you know, I don't know what he does to get these numbers. That's another part of it. Like, she's not telling us, like, she's like, are they a couple like you and I are in a relationship where we're talking about at the beginning of this podcast, how 3 days away will be nice because we've spent literally every moment together. You know what I mean? Like we're, that's how we're talking at the beginning of this podcast. So like, you know, if I had numbers in my phone from with Hey You Up, Jess would be like, here are the 3 days it happened when he traveled and it wasn't around me. This woman doesn't give us really any context to like, does he go out to bars with his friends alone? They're in Nashville. People are going out in Nashville. I can tell you that right now. Whether you think that's right or wrong, the bars are hopping. So,
right. Was he when these were sent out?
Sure. And I've never sent I'm trying to think if I've ever sent like a man or someone that I wasn't attracted to, hey, how are you tonight? Hey, how are you could be sent to a friend, but that friend would have their name saved in the phone. Hey, how are you tonight? That's very male, female. That's very, or not even male, female, just that's very direct to someone, you know, with the number not saved, you know, that makes it a very,
right.
I'm trying to do something tonight. I would need to know what he's doing that night. So to me, these texts aren't good, is my short version of the long answer I just gave.
Right. I feel like there's very few like PG excuses for them, especially given that there's three of them.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like great. It's funny because they're living together, right?
that's why I'm asking, like, how are you not seeing this? You know, like, to just say you have other numbers on your phone that aren't saved, like, I guess maybe they could be exes that he's taken out of his phone but kept their numbers. They could be from prior relationships. I would even go farther back to say their relationship, like even the way they got together, like, it doesn't seem like a relationship that I would want to be into. Like, broke up before he left for college. Both moved back to our hometown after college. After realizing we were both back, we hung out. Like, yeah, we just realized they were in the same town. And we got drinks. And now we're an exclusive relationship. Like, it's not like it because of COVID for about 4 to 5 months. Like, this all tracks with lack of options is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, it's funny. Did you watch, not to bring up excessive amounts of Netflix entertainment right now, but did you see the American Murder?
No.
Thing? Well, this woman's like husband winds up murdering her.
Okay.
But, and he's like having, and she's like, he just keeps like yesing her. Like she thinks he suspects he's having an affair sort of. And she like keeps asking about it. And he keeps like yesing her being like, yeah, like, no, like, I love you. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I can't wait to see you, blah, blah, blah. Like, while all the while doing this thing. I think women have this, like, ingrained fear of this. This is almost like your worst nightmare. It's like, he's telling you everything is great. Everything seems great. How do we, like, how can you ever really know or something?
Well, I'm sorry. Sorry to
that's
interrupt.
It.
I would say that I understand it. Like, if let's just, the relationship, again, the answers are sometimes in the email. The relationship is out of convenience. So this is a guy who doesn't really like difficult situations. They move back to their hometown. They get back with their high school sweetheart because their name was in their phone and they share a lot of things in common. They trust the other person. They knew the other person thought they were good looking naked. So that's what happens when you don't take chances. Then when do you take a chance? So now he's talking about engagement, marriage, wanting to be birth his children. Those are all easy things to talk about with someone to just keep it moving along. Like,
right. It's easier than not talking about them if the other person is bringing them up.
Sure, absolutely. And if the woman's bringing him up, again, if he's bringing him up out of the blue, that could even be true. It's just nice to see your face react to things I know you'll like to hear. So,
right.
Again, when you don't work towards being together, like, again, when you kind of like fall back into this fallback plan of a relationship, then that's kind of like the person you're dating.
So what do you think her move is here?
So I think she's got to bring it up. You can't unsee what you saw. I think the minute you go to look through your boyfriend or girlfriend's phone is the minute you have a problem in the relationship. Like, if you're going to go through someone's phone, you should go, oh shit, I wanted to do that, put it down, and then go talk to your significant other. But that's not what anyone does. They look through it and they feel worse than they felt before because they either find something that they're not sure what it is, like this person did, or they find nothing. And they feel bad for not trusting their boyfriend.
Right.
And they're left with the feeling of, fuck, I'm in a relationship I really don't even want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, looking through someone's phone is like stalking your ex's social media. The best thing you could find is nothing. And then you still are reminded of their existence.
Yeah.
Like, nothing good can come of either of those things.
Well, it's just, you know, why are you looking? Let's take a look in the mirror for a second. And it's like, I'm looking because I'm psycho. Well, then, okay, then go check yourself into a mental institution. Are you, right? You know, like, what's the reason?
Maybe there are other signs that you are not ready to admit that would make you skeptical of this person.
That, or you need professional help to deal with how you receive love. And that's not a bad thing. Many people seek out help. Seeking out professional is a great thing for people. That is, that's self-care. That's self-love. So mm-hmm. you have, but the reason can't be I'm psycho, because then that's crazy town. So if the reason is I'm having confidence issues, okay, then that's a professional problem that can be helped with someone with a degree in that area. If the problem is I don't trust this guy, then you're living with someone you don't trust.
Right. I think she needs to look in the mirror, figure out which reason it is, admit to her boyfriend that she did it.
Yes.
Along with that thing, I'm sorry, like, I was feeling very insecure, and I did this, or I'm sorry, I was feeling, you know, I realize I don't trust you because I don't know why or whatever X. And then you can actually discuss the texts.
And I saw, and also, because you did something wrong doesn't absolve the situation from being wrong.
That's true.
So, hey, I did something I'm not proud of, but I've seen something I can't unsee. I need you to explain these three texts to numbers that are not saved in your phone. And that's it. He explains it or he doesn't. If he doesn't, if the explanation is I'm still, you're going to get an answer. I mean, even no answer is an answer at that point, because you have to be, a relationship is constant negotiations. And if they won't even negotiate with you, then they're not in the relationship.
Yeah. I would almost, it's funny, I like almost feel, I felt like if I were her, I would almost feel better about the fact that he texted three different people and got no response.
Yeah.
It's like, it's clearly not like, there's no affair. Because he didn't
No, he's...
he made three failed attempts.
he's got an affair with his
like
hand.
Better and it's worse.
Yeah.
It's better and it's worse. It's like, you tried really hard to treat it. Like, you tried three different times really hard to cheat on me, and it just didn't work out for you anytime.
Well, yeah, and it kind of shows you that if one of them worked out, it's not like he had one moment. He's like actively out there trying to fuck. And like, you have to wonder if the numbers are from dating apps. You know, they could be from dating apps, and he's just better at hiding the app than he is the numbers.
That's,
you know,
true too.
It's all sucks. I'm sorry, because she said they had a fun time at my show, so I'm obviously standing them in some way, but you know what? Like, again, we're going to have a lot of people in convenient relationships due to the nature of what's happened over the last year. So there's going to be moments where you're going to go, wait a minute, we've been doing this 4 months and he said, I love you. Yeah, it was easy to say I love you when there were nobody leaving the house. It was easy to say I love you when we could live together and it would be cheaper. Again,
now I have more options, and I'm not sure how I feel.
Yeah, and I want to move because this city sucks for dating. You know,
it all comes full circle.
Always. You want to play some games?
Yeah, let's do it.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Let's play some games.
Okay. Every night after they finish family dinner, they sit around the piano and sing songs together.
This is nice. I know I seem like I'd be a hater of this, but the idea that the family does something different and fun, and, you know, I'm not eating dinner at the family's house every day. So
right, and neither should they.
Yeah, they should. And if you are, there's bigger issues. But, like, how nice is that? Like, would you have a problem with this?
I think it's kind of sweet. My family doesn't do this exactly, but my brother plays the piano. Sometimes he'll break out into some song at a family holiday.
Why not? And let's all sing. Let's all be a little, you know, let's all be what we wouldn't want to watch ourselves be on camera. Like, let's be nerds together.
Like, what would it be better if it's like every night the family gets drunk and screams at each other after dinner?
Yeah, I don't. I that sounds. Is that my family? I yeah, I don't. This is nice. I've told you my piano dream, right?
No.
My greatest dream in life is to learn one song on the piano.
Heart and Soul? I could teach you.
Well, I want a song that seems difficult. Like, I want to learn one song that if a piano's in the room, I could go over and go just kind of like play with the piano for a second. And then I kind of like go into it. And then everyone goes, oh my God, I surprised the whole party. And they go, you play? And I go, I can't, not anymore. And then I just walk away because I only know the one song.
You want to play Uptown Girl?
Yeah. Like, I want to be able to nail one song, Uptown Girl, and then people go, more. And I go, I don't play anymore.
Sorry.
Enough. And then I walk away, and then everyone goes, did you hear Jared on the piano? He's unbelievable. And all you got to know is one song.
And then you're like a sensation.
Yeah, that's right. So that's all I want to do. I could pull that trick once in good company one time. But this is a green flag for me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm into it.
I've been dating a guy for a little over 2 months now. We met on Bumble. We see each other about once a week, and things seem to be going great. We've had the exclusive sex talk, but no, not the DTR talk. Ugh, that annoys me. And I'm so sick of exclusive sex, but not in a relationship. I think that label is the dumbest fucking thing. I think.
Do you remember when we started this podcast and you were like, no one does that?
I'm like, I don't understand what we're accomplishing. So what? He gets to not fuck other people? That's called a relationship. Or
but
she
doesn't have to introduce you to his mom.
You literally just added another stop on the route is all you did. And it's right. Like that stop was already there. It's yeah. Stupid. All you're doing is protecting your feelings.
They're 31 and a half years old.
Yeah. Get out of here, you 8-year-old. Hey, he also told me he is looking for a serious relationship and wants a girlfriend. Not with you.
No. What a great
Yeah. Good
I happen to have one right here.
About a month ago, I added him on Instagram and never got a follow back. Then when talking about Snapchat one day, I added him on Snap. Also never got a follow back. I brought it up to him jokingly one day when he was talking about Instagram, and he said he doesn't really use social media and doesn't even follow most of his friends. This is true since he has zero posts on IG and only follows 19 people. And most of them are sports accounts, not actually people. But of the handful he does follow, one happens to be his ex that they broke up over a year ago. When I jokingly brought, what is she, a comedian? A lot of jokes. Chick's got jokes. When I jokingly brought it up to him, he said it wasn't a big deal and he would follow me back, but never did. He didn't add me back on Snap, but always sends me pictures of what he's doing via iMessage. Is this a red flag or a deal breaker? I can't tell if he's just really not a big social media guy and actually doesn't think about it, or if he's just not that interested in me. Jordana, what do you think?
I don't think this is that big of a deal. If he's sending you pics over iMessage and he has zero pictures on Instagram and he follows 19 people, he's clearly just like, it's a very, very small part of his life that he is just not thinking about or tracking.
It also makes sense that he'd be following the ex. She probably did the same, you know, jokingly, quote unquote, move. Like she probably did the same thing to him. He's following 19 people that are all sports accounts. I mean, like his story tracks. So like,
yeah.
I do understand that if he follows the ex still, there is an element because in the same way that if you became an ex,
he probably wouldn't unfollow you because he wouldn't even think about it.
Or it's too noticeable to do. You know, like how many emails do we get? I don't want to look like an ass. I don't want to look like a piece of shit. I don't want to be the unfollow. So like, listen, we're all 10% away from each other. So his emotional state with this follow must be what like mine would be, where I'm like, I got to kind of wade away from this person. Or he's obsessed with that ex and he still watches every one of her stories. And, you know, that's
right,
the only
thing.
Right,
but he can do that while following you. I feel like the fact that you asked him to and he didn't do it just means that he's just like not, this is just a very small part of his life.
Yeah, or he's holding back from that. Or I think both ways isn't a reason to gauge his interest. First of all, Is he not that interested in me? You got to stop asking that question. Like, are you interested in him? Do these social media things make you less attracted or more attracted or nothing? That's right. The questions you should be asking.
It seems like to me, because they haven't defined the relationship and they've only had that exclusivity talk, that she is like, I need something to show.
Sure.
Some sort of like, I need something to link us together in some way. And yeah, maybe this will like help make me feel better for like 5 minutes.
She's looking to cover up her insecurities with labels and little nods to this is important to him, which she's going to lose that every single time. Right.
Bring up the real issue, which is that you haven't defined the relationship. This is just like a distraction from that.
Yeah. Or what do you want? Like, if it's this Instagram follow, then you need to then, hey, what the fuck, dude? I let you inside me, but you won't watch my stories. What the fuck? Like, stop jokingly about it. Like, you know, like, right. I think like her issue is like, ha, 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 you don't follow me on Instagram. And he's like, no, I fucking don't. And then that's the end.
She should just be like, okay, like, follow me now.
Follow me now. Yeah. And if you can't do that, then you have bigger problems.
Right.
And if you don't, I'm not interested as much. This actually makes me dry. You know, like, I think
that's fair.
Right. But I mean, if someone did this to me, I would go, okay. Like, I it wouldn't be red flag, but it wouldn't be green flag. You know, like, it wouldn't be.
Right. It would be like a little annoying, but I think if they don't post anything, then I'm kind of like, why are they even like, I don't care about their social media at all. There's nothing to stalk here.
Totally. And it's fair to say that that's not a big part of their life.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think that's kind of hot in itself.
Sure. I do understand where it's like, if they are on stories and looking at stories all day long, it's like, oh, you don't even care enough to like see what I'm up to. Like, I do understand
that. That part's weird.
That would be weird.
But she does, just because he follows these accounts doesn't mean he like actively uses the platform.
Yeah. I'm
like, I have a Snapchat, but I don't open it ever.
I mean,
I forget about that it exists.
I'm with you. Sometimes I'll have like messages on there. I'm like, man, this has been here for 6 months. You know, like I get that. So
right.
let's do one more.
Last one. Jordana, I've gotten 4 of my friends to download Shiv this week. We love it. Great. It's a great app to be on with your friends. Enjoy it. Here's my red flag or deal breaker. They ask you out to a double date as your third date. For context, I met this guy on Shiv. Yay. And we had 2 great dates. He asked me to dinner for our third date and I said yes. And then a few days later, texted me asking if I'd be interested in making it a double date with one of his guy friends. And the girl his friend just started seeing. I'm into this guy, so I said yes, but I feel like everyone I tell thinks it's weird that he already wants to do a double date. Would love to hear your thoughts.
So
what do you think? They ask you to do a double date as your third date.
There's 2 ways this could go. Like, there's 2 options. I don't think it really depends. And again, I can't tell you the thoughts in someone's head. Like, that's why like judging their interests based on all these like clues like never works, because you can't know if someone's just after sex and that's it. Like, you go after sex in a very similar, a lot of guys go after sex in a very similar way that they go after a relationship, and that's what's so confusing.
Right.
So, I mean,
I don't think this is indicative either way.
What I would say is it's either one or the other. I'm writing down right now. Guys go for sex the same way they go for relationships. That feels like a joke premise. I'm sorry to stop us dead in our tracks. Doesn't that feel like a good stand-up joke premise? Jordana,
I like it.
Couldn't you understand? That's a good point, though, right? Like, that's a very confusing thing. You know, I don't think women really are like, hey, I want to meet your parents as they try to fuck you. You know, like, I'm like, okay, so not to get off course, but I will say he either is like, this is a cool chick, I want her to meet my friend. Like, you're meeting his friend, which is great. Like,
yeah. And or he's trying to, like, make it a little less formal. And make it a little more fun would be my...
That's also the case. Like, but just because you go on a double date doesn't mean you have to have sex or get hammered or whatever. I don't know. I like that you're meeting the friend. Like, I think that's a better thing than this friend is there to soften you into a casual relationship. That seems less likely to me.
Right. I would go on it and have fun and then, like, also, like, watch how he treats you on the double date.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if it seems like everyone just, they're just trying to, like, if it seems like it's getting to know you, like, fun, like, actual double date, that's one thing. If it seems like it's almost like this is in lieu of, like, having him meet you out late at night.
Well, I think we're talking about two different things. They're having a planned date. How many women out there would love a planned date? This guy's making a plan. He's getting the friend involved. I mean, this guy could be a doer and a shaker. Like, he could be like a move maker. Like, maybe this is how he is with his group of friends. I do understand where someone's like, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's up to you. That's not up to him.
Like, right.
To me, you can say to him, hey, this date made me feel like I was more a part of your world, and so I am getting to like you more from it. He can't look at you and go, what? What are you, fucking crazy? You meet my friends and you think we're like a match? It's like, of course I do. So, like, to me, this is like, hey, I've had two great dates. And then the third one with his friend, like, I really enjoyed him with his friend and how he has a full life. Like, to me, this is like, I think this is more positive than negative in this date.
Yeah. I think I would go. I would be like into it. I don't think it's that weird. That's something I might suggest. I think if I was having fun with someone, I wanted to invite them to something, or, you know.
I actually think it's more healthy than her perspective is, it's the third date. How could he invite a friend? And his perspective is like, you're fun. I think my friend would think you're fun. Like,
right. We could all have fun together.
Yeah, yeah. He's first, not trying to count dates.
I think third date is like the first acceptable date to do that. I think first and second date should be about getting to know the person one-on-one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then I think the third date is like the earliest you could do. And I'm cool with that. But if you're kind of like, oh, I'd rather just like get to know him.
Yeah.
I think that's also fair.
I mean, also what you said before, it is different than him being out with friends and going, hey, come meet up. That's right. That's a different scenario.
I agree. This is a planned thing.
It's formalized. Maybe this makes it more casual. Maybe the only thing I could see is that maybe this is his move to like seal the deal for sex on the third date. Like, where he's like,
she doesn't have to do that.
She doesn't have to do that. So, like, you know, beware. Like, hey, go and have
fun.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'd pay attention to the way he's acting on this. Also, I'd pay attention. I think I'd use it as a great excuse to judge him. What's he like around his friends?
Totally. This is, hey, do I like him and his friends? Maybe his friend's a total dick and it makes you like him less. That could happen.
That could happen too.
Yeah. I think we solved dating, Jordana, don't you think?
Once again.
We do it every week. Listen, if you're listening right now, then you like the show. You like the show. Good for us. We did it. We're doing a live virtual show.
Tomorrow night,
7 p.m. Get those tickets. Betches.co/UUP live. The link will be in the bio of this episode, I'm sure, right?
Yes, that is the link, and it will be in the description. Get your tickets. Email us, UUP@Betches.com, UUP@Betches.com. We'll see you next week.
Boom.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Dana Samuel. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPPod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.